I started seeing something different about Jesus and the church and believers today, how this picture of the children of Israel in Egypt, and I was comparing the two, how that Jesus, he was like our Moses, and how that Moses had signs and wonders to manifest the goodness and the glory of God, that he was the God of all gods and the King of kings, how Jesus did that for 3 years, that he manifested all the power of God. And then there was such a healing power that happened. You remember the last day, the night and day that they were there, God told them to roast the lamb, to cook it over fire, everybody to eat it, not to leave any left. Everybody's to eat the lamb, to apply the blood on the doorpost, and that represented the blood of Jesus, and that he was the spotless lamb. We're familiar with that part. But then, all of the provision that was provided for them. In Psalms 105, verse 37, it says that the children of Israel left Egypt. They left with all of the silver and gold. The people of Egypt piled on their wagons the silver and gold that they had to the Israelites when they left. Did you know that? They got gold and silver, so there was a great abundance for them when they left Egypt. Not only that, the Bible says in Psalms 105, verse 37, that there was not one feeble or sick person among them. You're talking 2 to 4 million people. You can't get 100 people in one room and somebody's not got something that's not working right in their body. 2 to 4 million people, the Bible says, there was not one sickly person among them. Why? Because of the lamb that they partook of the night before. It's a picture of Jesus. So there was healing provided. There was abundance and provision provided. They were loaded with silver. They were slaves all of their life. Well, some of them were all their life, but the ones that were in there, they were slaves, had nothing. And so they left Egypt, and they were all wealthy. 2 to 4 million people, wealthy, and no sickness among them. There was a supernatural guidance, a cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. But there's also, God made a supernatural way for them when there was no way to be made. When the Egyptian army was chasing them, Pharaoh and his army, the strongest, most powerful army on the planet, the children of Israel did not even have any weapons whatsoever. And they weren't fighters. They were probably, in their mind, they needed to be renewed because they still saw themselves as slaves that couldn't do anything. And here comes the strongest army on the planet chasing them, and they're backed up against the Red Sea. It's over. If you're in a military, you look at that and you just think, boy, you just should not have gotten yourself into that position. But God. But God. That phrase, but God, should be prevalent in our lives. You know, Pastor, I don't have enough money to pay this, but God. You know, Pastor, I don't have a house, you know, I really want to get it, but God. You know, Pastor, the doctor said this, but God. Supernatural, the Red Sea opens up, and God made a way where it seemed like there's no way. I'm just saying all of this story should create us to be the new Exodus generation. That we've exited poverty, sickness, and lack. We've exited slavery. We've exited of that mentality that, you know, I don't have anything. Making a way where it seems like there's no way. Supernatural, how about supernatural protection? Supernatural protection. That the Bible says that, you know, that this is one discrepancy in the Ten Commandments movie, is that Pharaoh went back to his palace. The Bible says that he died along with the children of not the children, but the Egyptian army. They were all They were all drowned in the Red Sea. It's Psalms 136:15. You can read it. Some people think, Pharaoh lived. No, he didn't. Pharaoh was destroyed, and everything of his power came to nothing. The Bible says that Satan has, in all of his power, has been destroyed over you and me. Listen to me. Once that Red Sea experience, the children of Israel never had to look over their shoulder ever again, thinking that Pharaoh was going to come after them. He no longer existed. You and I, listen to me. You and I never need to look over our shoulder and think, oh, this, the devil's going to get me and he's doing this. And as long as you have that mentality, you are empowering him. He has no power or authority over you. The Bible says, Jesus said this, all authority and power has been given to me. When he was resurrected, all authority, all power has been given to him. What power does that leave out? Zero. You know, I mean, you may have struggled in math, but let me just tell you, if you had $100 and somebody said, I'm going to give you all $100. This is a good math problem, okay? How much is going to be left if you've given all 100? How much is left out? 10:19, he says, behold, I'm giving to you authority and power. I give unto you the authority that's been given unto me, all the power. I give it unto you to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means harm you. So, supernatural protection. And even when they disobeyed, started whining, complaining. You know, the serpents, the snakes came into the camp and started biting them. Even God's mercy, he says, I want you to put a serpent on a pole. Everybody who looks on the serpent on the pole shall live. Poisonous snakes, you can get bit by a poisonous snake. You know what? If you stay focused on the pole, the serpent on the pole, no harm is going to get to you. So God made supernatural protection, even in their disobedience. Even in their disobedience, God says, you know what? I'm going to make protection for you. Did they deserve it? No. This is the point I'm trying to get across. You and I, we're never going to deserve it. But we have this mentality, well, I'm not as bad as that one. You know. This is the problem. You don't understand. Perfection is what God is looking for. And so that's like, you know, let's see who can touch the ceiling. Now, if you're 6'4", or if you have a Michael Jordan gene in you, you may be able to touch it. But, you know, most people aren't going to be able to touch 10 feet, 12 feet, you know, up there. So you say, to get this, to pass the test, you have to touch the ceiling. But this is our mentality. Well, I jumped higher than you. You still didn't pass. You still don't get the prize. Yeah, but, you know, they only got 2 inches off the ground. I saw them. I mean, that was it for them. But, you know, I can, you know, it's kind of like me when I was really into basketball when I was growing up. You know, I remember the day I could touch the net. And then when my friends come along, you know, shpoom, and he's hanging on the brim after he dunked in. I go, oh, well. But I never forget the day. This is a side journey. I'll never forget the day. I was about 12 or 13 years old. My goal in life was to dunk it, which it never happened. But one day, they opened up the gym in my subdivision for all the kids to go and play the whole summer. So, man, I get up as soon as it opened up. And somebody drug out in the middle of the summer. Somebody found this little trampoline. It's a little round trampoline that maybe the gymnast used or whatever. And I go, I got an idea. So I took that little trampoline, and I guessed about where it would be in front of the rim. I got my ball, and I ran, and I took a leap and jumped on that trampoline, and I went soaring. I went shaboom and hung on the rim. I didn't want to let go. Just everything in my body just went, yeah. No. In the natural, I can't dump it. dump it too, whatever. I couldn't do that. But there is a provision made for me to have the ability to do that. The point is this, you and I never will be able to touch the perfection level that God says requires. Deuteronomy chapter 28 says this, that's where the blessings are. But then he says, if you completely obey my voice, listen and do everything that I say, these blessings will come upon you. If you don't, all of these curses will come upon you. So this is what he's saying. If you obey me 100% perfectly, if you listen to my voice 100% perfectly, everything is going to be available to you. That's old covenant. To you and me, it's trying to reach the ceiling and we get, oh, it's 12 feet and I got 10 feet up there. You're still 2 feet short. Well, I got this. Well, at least I jump higher than, it doesn't matter if you jump higher than anybody. You have to be the perfected level. So this is what God knew. He said, I'm going to send my son and he's going to be the perfect sacrifice. And he's going to do everything perfectly. Jesus said this, I do nothing without hearing what my Father says or seeing what he wants me to do. He did everything to perfection. And then God said, I'm going to make a covenant between me and my son. There is no shedding, there's no forgiveness of sins. It says in Leviticus, without the shedding of blood. So God made a covenant with Jesus. Because he was the only one that was perfect to keep the covenant. And the good news, whoever believes upon him, upon Jesus, now is engrafted into the family of God. And now we have everything that Jesus had. Everything that Jesus has. And all that he has become, we have. So, now that Jesus has been raised from the dead, we've been raised with him in newness of life. So we are the new Exodus people. So the next time you read that story, you watch the movie, think about these things. I've bits and parts, pieces of that story I've related, like the lamb, that was obviously Jesus. But everything throughout their journey represents what you and I should be recipients of. Recipients of what the promises, the blessings of God. And listen, if there's no resurrection, then we're still in our sins. It says that in 1 Corinthians 15:14. It says, and if Christ has not been raised, all of our preaching has been for nothing, and your faith is useless. The Passion Translation of 15:17 says this, and if Christ is not alive, you are still lost in your sins, and your sin hasn't been dealt with. But also, the curse hasn't been dealt with. Deuteronomy chapter 28, that curse is still prevalent. We would still be part of that covenant. And the covenant is you have to completely obey 100%. If you miss one part of the law, the Bible says you're guilty of all of the law, everything. So if Jesus hasn't been resurrected, if the curse hasn't been dealt with, then you and I still have to deal with the curse. Read Deuteronomy chapter 28 sometime. It's really long. It's 60-something scriptures. It says all these sicknesses will come upon you if you don't obey 100%. It's the first 10 or 11 scriptures, you'll be blessed. And then there's like 50-something scriptures that says you'll be cursed. Man, the curse was heavy. It was a lot more than the blessings. But because Jesus was resurrected, he dealt with sin. But he also dealt with the curse. And if you read the curse, it had to do with finances. So Jesus dealt with poverty. You know, you hear so many teachings. You know, if I ever just want to get my blood boiling, I'll go to YouTube. And there's these ministers that will teach, you know, that, you know, these people, they believe and teach, you know, this health and wealth gospel. There is no such thing as health and wealth gospel. Well, you want to teach a sin and poor gospel? Let's just see who lines up for that. It's called the good news. Gospel means good news. Good news to a sinner is your sin's been paid for. Good news to a sick person, your sickness has been paid for. Good news to people who are in poverty, God will provide all of your need according to his riches and glory. I'm just amazed at how people will fight to believe that God wants you sick and God wants you poor. They'll fight for it. It's sad. Well, Jesus dealt with all of this on the cross. He dealt with it. Because Jesus was resurrected, then Jesus is Lord over all. He's been made King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now he's the ruler of this kingdom. Now, people in America, they have problems with that because we've never been under a king. The thing is about a king is it's not a democracy. You don't get to vote. You don't have an opinion. You may have one, but it means nothing. The kingdom never did say, now let's just see. Let's just take a vote. What does everybody want? No, whatever he said, it was law. It was a done deal. This is why I believe, you know, like the church, if you're not careful, not this church, but church general around the world, that there's such pressure on our culture that's pushing us and saying, you need to accept this, and you need to accept that, and you need to accept this. Well, the Bible says, if it's in the Bible, there's no acceptance of that. And I believe God knows what's best for us. Contrary to what the pressure of this world is putting on us, you just stick with the word of God. You stick with the word of God. But Jesus became the ruler. He is the ruler. But the good news is this. He's not a dictator like some of the dictators that are going on in the world that rule by bullying or if you don't do this, we're going to take your head off. And this kingdom is ruled by love. It's ruled by love. God's kingdom is ruled by love. And matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. It never fades out, never fails, never comes to an end. Love is the most powerful weapon, if you want to say. It's God's nuclear arsenal. Love, that's what his kingdom is dictated by. Love. In Luke 10:27, it says this, the religious scholar answered, it states, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your passion, and all your energy, and your every thought. And you must love your neighbor as well as you love yourself. This is the foundational truth in God's kingdom. In his kingdom. James 2:8, your calling is to fulfill the royal law of love as given to us in this scripture. You must love and value your neighbor as you love and value yourself. For keeping this law is the noble way to live. So love is the dominating factor in God's kingdom. He doesn't rule by, if you don't do this, I'm going to take your head off. He doesn't bully people. And when I was raised in church, that's how I thought God was. If I did something wrong, he's going to slap me upside the head. He is not ruling the kingdom of God like that. Is there consequences to sin? 100%. There are consequences. You lie about somebody and they find out about it, there's going to be a consequence to that. Are you hearing me? So don't think there's no consequences to sin, but this is what I am saying. As far as God is concerned, the consequence was paid on the cross. If you believe that. If they weren't paid for, then you're going to have to pay for them. Are you hearing me? That's a powerful truth. And it's a truth that's sometimes not well received because people think that there's, you know, I've said this scripture so many times, you should know it by now, 2 Corinthians 5:19, that God is not keeping any record of your sin. If you don't keep a record, then there's no proof. You know, Billy Epperhart is he's taught me many things, and he says this when it comes to dealing with real estate and contracts and everything. If it's not written down, Mike, it doesn't exist. Even if they said, sure, it has to be written down. Well, God says, I'm not writing it down. What does that mean? It means, as far as God is concerned, he still sees you flawless. As far as God is concerned, it doesn't exist. But I did that. As far as God concerns, this is how powerful the blood of Almighty God is. It's more powerful than any sin that any man could ever commit on this planet. It's the most powerful thing, the blood of Almighty God. We don't totally understand it. We sing about it. We understand it, and people plead the blood against this, and we know the blood upon the doorpost, it caused the death angel to pass over. So we know some things about it, but we've never even scratched the surface of how powerful the blood of Almighty God is. And the thing is, that blood of God was taken up to heaven, but also the blood of God was poured out on this planet. That's why the Bible says where sin does abound, grace does far more abound. Why? Because the blood of God. Because of the blood of God. One last scripture. Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. It says, and formed us into a kingdom. God placed us and formed us into his kingdom. A royal race. Priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and power and the majesty and the dominion throughout the ages and forever and ever. Amen. He put us into his kingdom. He put us into his kingdom. Now we are ambassadors. I don't have time to teach about it today, but the word ecclesia means church. But did you know that's not a religious term? Ecclesia is what the king, he would have kind of like not a board of directors, but you know, it's kind of like people in his kingdom, and what the king would say, this is what I want, that ecclesia would go out into the kingdom and into the world and make happen what the king wanted. Listen to me. Ecclesia, it's not even a spiritual term, but the ecclesia worked for the king, and it was a group of people in the kingdom. When the king says, I want this, the ecclesia would go out into to the highways and byways and make happen what the king wanted. Paul comes along and he says, you people, the church, we are the ecclesia. People translate that, the word ecclesia, as church. And it is. And it's not. It's all what it is that the ecclesia, we no longer have our opinions. Galatians 2:20, we've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet it's not I that liveth, it is Christ in me. So it's no longer what I want or think. It's all about what the king wants. So the ecclesia took everything from the king and then made it happen. If the king said, sickness has been dealt with. Yeah, but I still have this pain. The king says, sickness has been dealt with. You're not getting it now. I said, the king says this. Yeah, but pastor, I'm just doing this. But the king says this. How powerful is the king that you serve? How much resurrection power has been put inside of you? The Bible says this. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in heaven? No, it says it dwells in you and in you. Not 50%, not the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. How much resurrecting power heals? How much resurrection power do you need to get rid of cancer? How much resurrection power do you need to cause your legs to function right, your brain to function right? How much resurrection? Because the resurrected power that was in the grave caused a dead man to come back to life. How much resurrection power does it take? Oh, we just need more power. Really? The Bible says the resurrection power is in you. You have enough power to heal everything from a headache and toe ache, to cause a dead man to come to life, and everything in between, which would cause cancer to be no problem for God, which would cause diabetes to be no problem for God, heart issues, high blood pressure, knee problems, things that have been passed down from generation to generation. You go, well, my daddy had this. My great-granddaddy had this. You know, it's just what we have. It's just passed down. How much resurrection power does it take to get cleared of that? I'm just telling you, we need to open up our eyes, believe differently, that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and me. And you need to hear this again and again and again until everybody in the church is walking in divine health and walking in divine prosperity and has victory over every situation. I'm not saying you're not going to have problems. No, you'll probably have more problems because the enemy, we're going to say, nah, I don't like what's going on over there. I do not like. Just look at Jesus in his life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Did he have problems and people come up against him? Oh, man. He had all kinds of people, you know, trying to trick him, lying about him. But what happened? He had victory over every single one. Even when they were going to say, okay, let's take him and throw him off the cliff before his time, the Bible said, like, have you ever seen those movies where everybody's just frozen? And then there's one person who's not, and he's just walking around going, you know, and they're just, everybody's frozen. I'm pretty sure he probably didn't do what I just did. I would have. I went, just kept walking. Everybody was just frozen. The Bible says he walked in between them. That's, what is that? Authority and power. Authority and power. All authority and power. It's been given to Jesus, and he says, I'm giving it to my kingdom. I'm giving it into my kingdom. And it's the responsibility of the ecclesia to take what the king has said. It's the responsibility of the ecclesia to make it happen. It's not the responsibility of the king. He just says, this is what I want. He is documented. He has said, this is what I want. By his stripes you're healed. That you've been made the head and not the tail. That you've been made above and not beneath. That whatever you set your hand to is prosper. He's written down, this is what I want. Now, he said it. He spilled his blood to make it so. But now, he says, I'm giving it unto my church, my ecclesia, to make it happen. Let's stand. Amen. How many of you think that's good news? Aren't you glad you're in this kingdom? A powerful, powerful kingdom. We're in it together. And now we just keep learning so that our faith will rise, so that we can take what the king has said and make it so. So we just believe what the king says and we make it so. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name. God, it just sounds too good to be true news, and it is. But it's news that's been written down for thousands of years. It's news that's been written down and said, this is my will. Help us as a church. Help us as a believer. Help us even as an individual, that everybody we come in contact with, we make it so. We make it so. And I thank you that it's not our power, but it's power that's been given to us. It's not by our intelligence. It's not by anything that we've had to do. It's because of the king in which we serve. It's the king in which we serve, and he says, grace has been given to you to fulfill and implement everything that I've said. Grace has been given to us. May we walk in this power. May we walk in this grace. And may we walk in this love that dominates the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Amen.